So I just put up a ham radio yesterday, but fuck it. Let's do another one. I fucking love doing these things. See, I keep having to upgrade my Libsyn account because I keep putting up more and more shit. And the video version, ham radio ultra high frequency that I put up the other day, was going to gum up my account for the whole month if I didn't upgrade yet again. So at this point, I'm laying down like $20 a month for that thing, which to me is like, ow, man, that's tons of money. Luckily, there is money in the coffers. People have been very generous donating to me. But hey, don't hesitate to donate again and again. So my plan was to let things sort of smooth out and go back down to my cheapo $10 a month plan. But while I got this $20 one, man, it was like space. If I can upload another show, why the fuck not upload another show? So that's what I was used to do back in the day, was just fill my account to capacity. Because how Libsyn works, it's like you get so much per month, but you don't have to pay for bandwidth. Like, you can only upload a certain amount per month. You don't have to worry about how many downloads it gets. Because I am so worried about my massive number of downloads. Anyway, I just got up early and, I don't know, I'm tired and groggy and weird feeling. Best time ever to do a show. I'm telling you, this getting up at 6:45 in the morning shit, that is for the fucking birds, my friends. The only way I can understand this is if there's a kid involved, because then you really have no choice. Like, back in the days when I was babysitting Allie, she would always fucking wake up hyper early, come into my room and climb up onto my bed and punch me or something. So I did at least get her accustomed to the idea. She was like 2.5 at the time, that I was not going to get up right away. Usually I was lucky if the sun was even up yet. So I would lay there groggily for 20 minutes, trying to regain my senses, while she was just sort of, you know, busying herself, kicking walls or poking me or what have you. If you go to youtube.com/KeithEmpire, KEITHMPIRE, that's my YouTube account, there's a video called Wake Up Keith. You can see this very event. That's a neat thing too, where it's like, people are so used to TV and weird invasive pseudo-documentaries and stuff that nobody ever questioned how the camera got there in that video. So what happened was, Allie came in and woke me up, and I just sort of stumbled out of bed just enough to toss my camera on a tripod and turn it on, and then fell back asleep. But yeah, nobody wonders, like, how am I filming myself waking up? But getting up this time of the morning to go to a job, are you fucking kidding me? It's goddamn ridiculous. You're an adult. There's no need to do this to yourself, world. You're just turning everybody into a bunch of sleepy, cranky, fucked up weirdos. And I mean, it's not like Ayn's job starts so crazy early, like 8:30 and 9 o'clock, but in order to get up and get ready and get there in time, you gotta get up fucking early. So I also decided I didn't want to stay up all day. I've done this a few times. That last ham radio, I mentioned that it was like 2:30 in the afternoon and I was still awake. I stayed up that whole goddamn day. I didn't go to bed till like 11 or something. But it's a weird half-life, which is the weird half-life I generally reside in, but of being half asleep. I decided I didn't want to do that today. So I got a decaf coffee this morning. Big fucking mistake. Oh, man. Because then I had to find a bathroom before I jumped on the train to go home. So swung over to Central Park, just because I know there's porta-potties there. And Central Park is pretty much the quietest place you're going to find in this city. And still, it's just like, I could just feel things pounding against me and my head hurting a little bit. And everything seemed a little more loud than it should be. So I went to a nice little breakfast cart, got a bacon and egg sandwich thing, and a normal coffee. And man, did that do the trick. I cannot resist the pull of caffeine. That was a nice sunlight sneeze. I always get those. Bright lights make me sneeze. It's weird. Alright, well, let's play a song before I ramble on and on all fucking day. It's this Canadian guy named Sam Roberts, who never really thought much of overall. Sort of, I don't know, followed him a little bit. None of his songs ever really sunk in except the very first one, very first single. It's called Brother Down. And I did play it before on AM radio, but it was almost an afterthought. I tossed it in right at the end of the show. The show called I Think My Life Is Passing Me By. I even took the lyric from that song. It's how much I like it. But I did just kind of toss it in at the very end. So I found an alternate version of it. I don't know what this is. Some other album, or I guess he re-recorded old songs. I don't know. And this version is actually not as good as the original one. But when a song is this solid, every version is good. Like how you can find like six versions of This Charming Man by the Smiths. They're all good. Matter of fact, I'm going to play one of those after this too. Because I played that song before also. Brad played it for me. And what little I know of the Smiths is totally my favorite song by them. And the version Brad played is, again, my favorite. So this is going to be second runs. Second as good versions. In other words, not as good versions of songs. But just an excuse to play them again. I just don't like playing the same song twice if it's identical. But moderately modified versions, that's fine. Yeah, so this Sam Roberts guy. I wasn't at this show, I just read the review of it. But he played at UNB, University of New Brunswick. And in the review of the show, they mentioned that he got the crowd to chant socialism between songs. Socialism! Hey, ho, ho! Weird change of nothing. I'm a musician. The idea that my personal politics affect anyone in any way is laughable. I don't mind that songs are about something, but you gotta admit at the end of the day, it's just a song. If it's not a catchy song, your message is not gonna carry the fucking thing. I always kind of mildly respected the fact that Zach De La Rocha, the Rage Against the Machine singer, fucking quit Rage Against the Machine and moved to the third world to dig fucking ditches for a while. I think that's a retarded thing to do. I don't think that's really helping much of anything. I think you could help more if you just kept touring with your band and fucking funneling that money into projects. Your value as a fucking pickaxe wielder, shovel guy, it's really not that much. But it was cool that he did it. He put his fucking money where his mouth is. He walked the walk and talked the talk. All that. Maybe I should play a Rage song too. What would be cool to play? If I remember right, I remember their third album, Battle of Los Angeles. It was pretty 50-50. It's only half good, but I remember like the last two songs on the album were really, really cool. I'm going to listen back to those two and decide which one I like best and play one of them. So we got some Sam Roberts, some Smiths, some Rage Against the Motherfucking Machine coming your way on this beautiful September 11th. I'll talk about that after too. It is now September 11th, 2008. But here's some music first.
Cause the money is time. Poor man's money, cause he knows the end line. Like the new sound over the new ground. Ain't the new sound just like the old sound? Look at the noose now.
what am I doing recording a show today? I'm back home now. I should be in bed. I should go to sleep. Well, you know, I was just complaining about paying extra money. Again, I'm talking quiet because I'm home and I think Relic's sleeping like a sensible person. I was complaining about my Libsyn account costing more. I just got a donation, 50 sweet smackers, so thank you. Thank you very much. That's going to keep me going for... See, that's the thing. I was talking to Relic the other day, yesterday, I guess, about how really I've only got like 3 months left in New York, three and a little bit. And that kind of sucks, man. That is trouble. Because then I will be sent back to Canada and separated from my lady friend. I don't care for that idea at all. But I'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, so September 11th. Ian was mentioning that around her office, some people were like, ooh, tomorrow, September 11th. And I was kind of surprised. I was like, really? Still? I mean, it was like 7 years ago, but I kind of forgot. I am in New York. I suppose it had a more pronounced effect on people here. And, I mean, it was no doubt clearly an extremely crazy fucked up thing. But I figure, I don't know, it's just like, it sounds weird to say that I'm disappointed in terrorists, but I'm surprised. It didn't really seem like September 11th took that much smarts to pull off. Terrorism in general doesn't seem like it's really that tough. It's convincing people to do crazy shit. I could see that being tough. But the actual reality of, you know, really shaking shit up and destabilizing people's trust in their surroundings. I don't know, I'm just surprised nothing else has happened. I really thought September 11th was like the start of a succession of dominoes of crazy shit. And I'm glad it wasn't, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what my point is, but we were kind of recounting September 11th stories. She was in college at the time, and I was still back in Fredericton. And I remember I was awake weirdly early. It was weird that I was awake that early in the day. And my cousin Dan was homeless at the time, was staying at our place. And his friend Jay called up to be like, dudes, you guys gotta fucking turn on the TV, it's crazy. So I actually was watching the news. It was like after the first tower had been hit, and I don't know, I just assumed it was like just some private plane, like some guy flying, totally fucked up, somehow hit a building. I don't know. It certainly didn't seem like it was as big a deal as it was. I really didn't think buildings were going to fall. That was fucking crazy, man. That was insane when that happened. It just, I don't know, didn't seem like that big of an impact, and all of a sudden, bam, whole thing fell down. So really, the extent of my memory of that day is just that me and my cousin Dan went to Joe's Diner around the corner from my old house and had pie and just discussed how weird the world felt. That's really the only word. It's just weird, you know, just something in the air. Just, you know, things were definitely, that was very fucked up. But I found September 11th is a good way to test if you're with somebody who's way too young for you. Because, you know, Ian's story is that she was in college, but I remember this girl I was seeing in Vancouver, her story was the teacher came into the class and, you know, stood in front of everyone and, like, tried to explain to everyone what had happened. And I was like, what kind of bunch of fucking retards were you? What do you mean? Like, she do draw you fucking stick figures, but it turns out it's because that girl was in the sixth grade when that happened. I was like, oh, you're too young for me. We should not be together. I'm gonna play a song that that Ian put in. She gave me a big whack of songs to listen to, and this one I like especially. It's this band called Hot Chip that I don't know fucking anything about. They got this song called Wrestlers that I remember I had this idea once. I thought it would be funny to have a band, like a punk band or something, and all of their songs would be wrestling related, you know, like I've got you in the crossface, you're caught in the crossface of my love, which wrestling nerds will recognize as a Chris Benoit reference, which is maybe less of a cool thing to do since Chris Benoit strangled and murdered his wife and son and then killed himself. So I think Chris Benoit is off of the fucking reference table. But yeah, so this band has a song of a similar vein, like romance metaphors through wrestling. I really like it a lot. According to Wikipedia, Hot Chip is a British electropop band. They have released 3 studio albums. So there you go. This is Wrestlers by Hot Chip.
It's me versus you and love. 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 Go tag team, double up. Hit you in the sweet spot and make you wish you'd back up. The gloves are off. The gloves are off. It's me. Around, taking us some man down. And while you've got us on the ropes, we plan to play the mess around. He's taking the train. You've got him buckled up and he will misbehave. You're way bigger than trained, but I've got the power and the glory in my broody brains. The gloves are off. The gloves are off.
So why you don't have to fight dirty, don't fight dirty, don't hit me with the chair.
The gloves are off.
So why you don't have to fight dirty, don't bite me in the face.
The gloves are off. Now what you gonna do when I come for you with all that I've got? I've got a roll of coins, I'm aiming for your lungs and I will never stop. Willie Nelson,
body slam, suplex, headlock, summer slam, elbow drop, belly flop, cage match, grudge match, schnamm schnork, schnamm schnieck, all feel it, harsh robot, melts the musk, all neck, scalp whiz.
It's me versus he 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 versus he.
Let's play another alternate version of something. This is the song Try Honesty by Billy Talent, their first single. I managed to track down on YouTube. They had like a 4-song EP before their first album came out. And it had, I think it was, I don't know how many songs, I don't know why I think 4.
Try Honesty and How It Goes, which are my two favorite Billy Talent songs. And the How It Goes demo that's on this EP is actually, it's significantly different than the original. It might be the more notable thing to play, but I just listened to it and it just didn't grab me that much. So instead I'm going to play the demo of Try Honesty, which is like a fucking stupid good song. What a retardedly good song. It's just like really, I really, really, really like it. So this has got a few little differences here and there. It's got that nice raw demo sound. And here's something I just found out a little while ago. There's this guy who posts shitloads of video game music on YouTube, and in the info box it says like YouTube videos are mono, but they still have whatever you originally uploaded is like sitting on the fucking YouTube server. They don't delete it. So you can get the stereo audio at the end of the URL. You type FMT equals 18 and it scrambles the video, and the video doesn't work quite right anymore, but then you get stereo audio, which is pretty fucking sweet. So this is pulled off YouTube, but at least it's in stereo. And then I guess to download this shit, I don't know, I got some kind of utility for Firefox that grabs stuff. See, normally it would download these as Flash video, but once you toss in the FMT equals 18, then it downloads it as an MP4, which is a lot handier anyway. I don't know, it's a neat little trick for you tech nerds out there that want to fucking steal music from places. So here's the original demo version of Try Honesty by Billy Talent.
Scratched my knee.
shit, I just thought of what I need to play. Fucking September 12th by Saul Williams. That only makes sense.
Two autumns and I haven't changed enough. It's September 12th and the sky has fallen. The sun has risen. A city built in five dimensions undergoing circumcision. 8 days under Judaic law. Dear diary, I'm fiery. Divine winds, my friend, took me back to the beginning when I swore it was the end. From the fiery depths, found the ocean within. My penmanship seals it straight through my lips. I'm hip to your games, hip to the science of war. Propaganda make me fight, but what am I fighting for? My way of life, means and rights, give or take less or more. See through the eyes of the poor, plus I'm black to the core. Ignorance is on tour, booking stadiums and more. The days of Hitler painting pictures, patriotic with gore. You raise a flag on a lance, at your board eagle's claw. As stamp the symbol on your currency to finance your war. I'm saying no, not in my name, not in my life. Not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You wage a war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns of fear and sword in the silence.
I'm saying no, not in my name, not in my life. Not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You built your empire with natives and slaves. Like the truth don't resurrect, wage a war from its grave.
We got brothers on the sideline, ready for the front line. Tell me when it's my time, won't you tell me? We got women on the sideline, ready for the front line. Tell me when it's my time, won't you tell me? You won't put it in your headline. People are in that line. Do we need a headline? Do we really?
We only see what they want us to see. We'll only be what they want us to be. Fighting in their army.
We pledge resistance. We pledge to defend civil liberties against social and political repression. We pledge alliance with those who have come under attack for voicing our position to the war. We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real.
No, not in my name, not in my life. Not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You wage a war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns to fear and soul in the silence.
No, not in my name, not in my life. Not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name.
You built your empire with natives and slaves. Like the truth don't resurrect, wage a war from its grave.
Opposing armies, armies oppose the ancient truths of the shamans and swamis. And it's not about retaliation. The history of war does nothing more than scar imagination. Increase security, religious purity. Your blindfolded justice make you trust in fatuity. Like it's random, it's tandem. Fuck you and damn them. You teach to attack and then question who planned them. No, not in my name, not in my life. Not by my hands, that ain't my fight. Not in my name. You wage war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns of fear and sword in the silence. No, not in my name, not in my life. Not by my hands, that ain't my fight. Not in my name. You built your empire with natives and slaves. Like the truth don't resurrect, waging war from its grave. Wanna put me on your blacklist? You can use my blood for ink, your communion to drink, and remembrance of a nation that forgot how to think. Hypnotized by your lies with not even a blink. What? You wanna put me on your blacklist? You can use my blood for ink, your communion to drink, and remembrance of the all I seen. Big brother, R.I.P. to the powers that be, overcome by the powers of being.
So yeah, this 3 month thing, like I said, is talking to Relic. It occurred to me, 3 months left in New York, so I was talking to Ian yesterday, and it came up. You know, hey, what'd you get up to today? Oh, well, I just realized it's only 3 months until till the world fucking drops a meteor on us, that's all. And yeah, I don't know, it's like, it's not like I want to stay in New York, you know? I got a lot of issues with New York. This place wears me out. So, I mean, I'm ready to go home. Not only because I don't have a work visa. I mean, how long can you fucking stay afloat without a job? Particularly in a city this expensive. And besides a quick visit from Matt and Brad, I haven't seen any of my friends or family in the past year. It's a pretty long fucking time. And I can eventually come back to the States, but I'm supposed to stay home for 6 months. 6 months is quite a long time. You know, unrealistic to ask someone to wait for you for 6 months. And then 6 months till what? Till I come back to New York with no job again? It just doesn't make sense. It's not going to work. So we were talking about these tentative plans of like, I mean, I can't stay in my hometown. I got to go somewhere else. And I've already been to Vancouver plenty. I am gravitating toward Montreal. I think it'd be cool to try. Because obviously I've lost my fear of snow. I'm sure it'll come back. But I've been away from it long enough that it sort of almost seems nice, you know. Even though I know, intellectually, I know that's wrong. I know I hate snow. I hate the cold. It drives me crazy. But when you haven't been near it, it's just easy to forget. Anyway, so there's that theory. What if I came to Montreal to check it out for a while? And there's ways that that plan could make sense, but really only if she was intending to move anyway. You know, if she was like, all right, I'm done with New York. I gotta try something else. Why not? Why not give Montreal a shot? We both don't know anybody there. It'd still be just, I don't know, a weird random adventure type of thing. But it's different if she's not ready to move. Which, I mean, 3 months is not very long time to sort shit out. You know, asking somebody to move with you like that, it's too much. Not to mention that it obviously doesn't make sense, you know. When you don't know someone well enough or long enough to really justify this type of thing. From any outside perspective, it's not a smart move. It's just kind of trouble waiting to happen, but it's these circumstances of citizenship, you know? So it's like, I can't push her into this, but I would not at all discourage it, you know? That'd be the best. That'd be so great. I would love it if she moved there with me. But none of this is realistic. Really, America, just invade Canada, will you? Just fucking take over, please. Make this easier on everybody. You can have all the trees. Hopefully we'll hook you on the dollar coin idea. Probably we won't, though. You stubborn fucks. Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna suck, man. It's trouble coming. Anyway, let me play you a wicked cheesy song. This is 07, the song Destiny. This is the most super way overblown fucking romance song I could possibly find. I don't know. Let me tell you something that there's two ways this can go, but this is honestly a thought that I had. This is one of those things, if somehow things totally worked out with Ian and I and we stayed together forever, then this is a very romantic sentiment. And if we don't, if we split apart, then this is just a ridiculous fucking way overly dramatic thing to say. But I just remember thinking when, you know, I was like courting Ian and trying to fucking catch her eye. It wasn't necessarily going so well at first. I just remember the idea of like, I think it's because I babysat Allie for so long that I think in these ways at all. That I even feel like I have a capacity for kids. But what if I ran into her 15 years from now? And she's got kids in this whole life, and it was not, you know, and it's with somebody else. What if that could have been with me, you know? What if I just really fucked up bad by letting things slip away? It's just one of those sort of shocking realizations that makes you really realize that you gotta really try hard to get this girl to notice you. Because it's like they say, you know, sure there's a lot of fish in the ocean, but you're not anywhere near the ocean. You're walking through the desert alone. It's really not easy for me to find girls that I like, and if I only half like somebody, then I don't like them, you know? It doesn't go anywhere. This is a rare thing. And I hope it all somehow works out, but I guess for now, time is the only factor that matters. Let some more time unravel, see how things go. So, yeah, I don't know, it's like, you remember how every soap opera in the 90s would play that, what's that fucking guy's name? That Chris Isaak song, Wicked Game. I don't know how I know that. I guess I just saw enough random soap operas at the time that song was out, but that was their love song. That was the one. Anytime something, some romantic turmoil hit, you fucking hit the Chris Isaak. Well, I think this is the new Chris Isaak, this fucking 07 song. This is the new hyper mega intertwined into one another way overdone love song. It is very fucking catchy though.
Thank you.
internet to get some food, just like the show I did a couple days ago. Falling into a rut. Post office found my books, by the way, which is nice. Apparently one of the letters rubbed off, so my address had a 1 in it instead of an 11. And it took 2 separate employees, an evening manager, and then a call back the next day to the morning manager for someone to look under McNally, where it was sitting there the whole time. So, let's just play a bunch of songs with very little preamble. This is a song by Buck 65 called Phil that I played before also in the I Think My Life Is Passing Me By show. This time we're going to hear a live version. This song, every song, it's got to get me musically first, and then lyrics tend to fall into place, you know. Sometimes they don't affect me, but sometimes, most of the time, you can find something in song lyrics to relate to your life. In this song, I was riding the 7 train on my way to meet Ian, and it was fucking ridiculous how hard this one hit me. Just fucking nailed me to my seat like I was paralyzed. Listen close to the lyrics of this song. For me, particularly, the circumstances of my life right now, it was just fucking perfect. Not to mention that it is an extremely beautiful composition.
A long walk, even if it's not in a straight line. You see a lot of things in the distance. You know what they say about great minds. You and I think about the same things, dream the same dreams, play the same games. We started out in the same place, believe it or not, we got the same names. Everything happens for a good cause, whether it be victory or loss. And the road may turn into a runway, but you'll know what to do someday. Trust me, seen it all before. I've climbed to the tops of the tallest trees to get away from the deep water, to feel the touch of the smallest breeze. You'll find a girl with the low voice who holds the world in her bare hands. You'll fall in love, you'll have no choice once you were given a fair chance. For the first time you will sleep well, take a deep breath, see the sunshine. Hold on to her for dear life and then watch the whole world unwind. Ask her to show you some magic, and I guarantee that she will say yes. Tell her that you've seen forever and you'll be together, not a day less. Just know until that time comes, and after you cross that first mile, that the hardest part is behind you, and all of the pain will be worthwhile. Let pain give you pleasure. From dirt grows to flowers when faith can't be measured. From storm clouds come angels. Let pain give you pleasure. From dirt grows to flowers when faith can't be measured.
An acoustic live version of a song called Live It Out by Metric that has you know, a general sense of leaving, moving on. I remember I made a mix CD for a girl I was seeing in Vancouver. And this song, I think, was the very last song on it. It was definitely in there somewhere. Anyway, she told me she didn't want to see me, so I never gave it to her. I think I threw it away. I wish I kept it. Curious to see what was on there now.
On the day we were supposed to leave, you changed your mind at the station. You had a nice apartment. There was a good bar downstairs. Your old friend worked there. I'll go anyway. They won't refund the ticket. It's a good story, but I don't want to live it alone. I crashed to take a chance. I want to live it out. I know I'm already dead. No concrete adversity. Traps of our own actions, how we wanted it to be. Now I'm never gonna see you again. You checked out. Vertebrae by vertebrae, roll your way out of a coma. Look up, the nurse is smiling. What luck. The nurse is me. Your old body is dead. Your body's dead. Your word instead. In my sleep I repeat it. It's a good story, but I don't want to live it alone. I crashed to take a chance. We're gonna live it out. Look at you, you're already dead. Now will you remember me? Digging ditches out of boredom. Said you could never leave. Now you're never gonna be here again. You turned off.
Abandoned my plan to get food. I'm just sitting on my front porch. Once I roll through these songs, then I will go treat myself with food. So I found another live Buck 65. This is from a different performance, but this is a song called Roses and Blue Jays that I always liked, but not quite enough to play on the show. And then I found a torrent of Buck 65 performing live with the Halifax Orchestra, but they really overdid it with this song. Like, they just went crazy on it. Like, they're way too loud and just super expressive. They were kind of drowning him out. So this one is just him with his turntables, but turned out really nice. This is a good song.
He's been wearing a beard ever since Mom passed away. She would have hated it.
Inspiring, he likes to go to church to hear the choir sing Roses and Blue Jays. Winter comes, game over. He's in the driveway removing snow with a flamethrower. Drives a hard bargain, knows how to get the deals. Spring fever hits, he needs a new set of wheels. Every year never fails. Roaming around in his hometown, beachcombing roses and blue jays. I'm a lot like my father. He knows he should go to work, but sometimes he doesn't bother. Reads books of every sort and gets all the news he needs from the weather report. The door stays open a few days and closes. What's more important than blue jays and roses? Son of a gun, the old man is something else. In addition to being a bullfighter and magician, he's a lazy river, slow-moving train. Future Hall of Famer, playing through the pain, he's a grizzly bear. And do you know, one time he even saw a UFO. My dad's favorite things are roses and blue jays. I would say we're the same in more than a few ways. We're full of beans and big ideas. Cause I can't sleep, I'm not sure why he is. Wide awake and off to the races. Out of gas and lost in space. So full of beans and big ideas. Cause I can't sleep, I'm not sure why he is. Wide awake and off to the races. Out of gas, lost in space.
One thing this show does not accurately express, it is my borderline obsession with Elliott Smith. Every time I'm in a subway now and I see those little barricades, do not enter here, I think about the Elliott Smith and the Big Nothing biography. Not the best book in the world, but not bad. And the only one, if you're into Elliott Smith. But about how he used to walk the subway tunnels at night. I can't think of like a weirder, more isolated thing to do. Maybe I should do a ham radio from inside the subway tunnels. It's not gonna happen. Maybe I should do one while riding outside. You ever heard that fucking... They got the little automated cars, the fancier ones that talk instead of having a conductor. And it is some creepy fucking new Detroit shit. Of like, please be informed that bags can be searched at any time. Shit like that. But one of them is, riders are reminded to ride inside the subway cars at all times. It would not have occurred to me that you could ride outside a subway car till they said that. There's little posters too. They show like a guy outside the doors. This could be the last ride of this man's life. It's like, I don't know, if you got the balls for that, go for it, man. This is the first Elliott Smith song I ever heard. I didn't hear of him until he died, and then it was this little explosion around the internet. The blogosphere, a lot of live journal in those days. Like, whoa, Elliott Smith's dead, what the hell? And then the occasional, who the fuck is Elliott Smith? So, yeah, I downloaded XO, and this was the first song, and I liked this song so much, and it just hit me so immediately that even though the next song after this, Tomorrow Tomorrow, is a really great song, this first song, Sweet Adeline, just hit me so hard that it, like, obliterated everything else for a little while. It's like, no other Elliott Smith song seemed as good as this one. I thought maybe it would just be this one song that I was into, and then I got into everything else, but... This one song, I don't know, it's just either it gets you or it doesn't, but it starts off so simple and then it just explodes into, I don't know, Elliott Smith, he was like that comic artist Chris Ware. I don't know, he, like, they don't like having their work described as depressing. You know, it's like to them it's expressive, like they're trying as hard as they can to infuse their work with feeling. And they do, but it's not necessarily good feelings, you know. Like the song, it's so weird. It just like explodes into these fireworks. But they're like fireworks of depression. They're like sad fireworks, you know. It's fucking... When I had access to a piano for a while, I was teaching myself how to play this song, just like my own weird made-up way. But I did a pretty good job of it. That would be a nice name for a daughter, too. Adeline. I could go for that. Fully represented in this show is my super obsession with Evan Dando. Elliott Smith is relatively recent, 2003 or so, but Evan Dando I've been listening to for a long, long time. And he has all kinds of songs that I like. Nobody has more songs that I like than him, in fact. And he did always kind of feel like my own thing because, you know, you had big hit with the Mrs. Robinson cover in the 90s and then like a couple little minor things after that, but basically everybody forgot. Nobody really kept tabs on this guy. I saw him in Vancouver play live. This is a song called The Same Thing You Thought Hard About Is The Same Part I Could Do Without. Or that's how he used to introduce it. It's the whole title. See, I had bootlegs of this long before his solo album, Baby on Board, came out. And I really like this song. And then on the album, it was actually pretty much the only song I didn't like, because it was like weirdly overproduced and loud, fuzzy guitars. Most of the rest of the album wasn't, and this song I think is much better in a stripped down way. So this is a live version of the same thing by Evan Dando.
Another joke at my expense. Can't believe where the time went, or how the past became the present tense. It's all blown out for me. A trapdoor underneath my shoe. I stepped aside to let her loose. I stepped aside to let her through. It's all blown out to sea. And the same hard about is the same part I can't live without, and the same thing he thought hard about is the same part I can't live without. Far I slid, and secretly I'm glad I did. I can't believe how far I slid. I guess I had to see a broken heart and two black eyes. But you should see the other guy. Forget it how, forget it why. It's all blown out to sea. And the same thing you thought hard about is the same part I can't live without. And the same thing you thought hard about is the same part I can't live without.
Came from a live album that was only released in Australia, live at Brattle Theatre, if I remember right, which thanks to the internet means nothing that it was only released in Australia. It was released fucking everywhere. It came with this bonus EP of him doing country covers. So I don't know who these songs are originally by, but I'm going to play a song called Nothing. And another song called I Don't Want to Go Home.
Hey mom, when you leave, don't leave a thing behind. I don't want nothing. I can't use nothing. Take care into the hall. And if you see my friends, tell them I'm fine. Not using nothing. Almost burned out my eyes. Threw my ears down to the floor. Didn't see nothing. Didn't hear nothing. Stood there like a block of stone, knowing all I had to know, and nothing more. that's nothing. His brothers are, troubles are, locked in each other's arms. And you better pray that they never find you, 'cause your back ain't strong enough. Burdens double fold, they crush you down, down into nothing. Being born is going blind, biting down a thousand times. Echoes strung on pure temptation, sorrow and solitude. These are precious things, the only words that are worth remembering. I've been traveling over miles I don't want to know. Staying up for days, why oh why do I roam? It's not that I don't love her, and the Lord knows that I do, but the change got to have a family.
Let's finish off with one more Evan Dando song. This is from the Lemonheads' 1996 album, Car Button Cloth. It's named after an old school project that Evan Dando did when he was a kid that he dug up somewhere. It's like a crude crayon drawings of a toy car and a button and some cloth. And then it says, all of these things sank. The very first song is called It's All True, but of course, I'm not going to play the upbeat album version, not with this melancholy shit I've been slinging your way. I'm going to go with a nice acoustic version. I remember, back in 96, that was some time ago, 12 fucking years, but I don't know. It was back when me and my brother were still friends. I remember the year I got out of high school, so I guess that was 97. We started getting into the Prodigy. And I remember me and him walked to the Fredericton Mall. We lived on the north side of Fredericton. We walked all the way to the Fredericton Mall, which, not a bad walk, I don't know. It probably took a couple hours just to go buy music for the Jilted Generation. Pooled our money, you know, communal CD. I remember I was leaning a little bit toward getting the Prodigy Experience just because the few little singles I'd heard from it. I mean, it's just like really upbeat dance music, but I really liked that album. But we both agreed that maybe that was just for me. I could go buy my silly dance music. If he was going to pitch in, we were going to get the cool album, which unquestionably, Jilted Generation is the cool Prodigy album. But I also remember when Car Button Cloth came out, so 96, the year before that, I had it on cassette tape. But I just remember, I don't know, my brother was never into the Lemonheads, but he knew how much I liked them, and it had been like 3 years since their last album. So I just remember going into his room being like, hey man, look what I got, new Lemonheads. And even though he really didn't give a fuck, you know, he humored me. He's like, hey, neat. And I tossed it in his little fucking CD tape player ghetto blaster thing and played him this first song because it was my favorite song on the album. I definitely miss those days of, you know, just being able to hang out with him and actually talk to him on some kind of normal level. For anybody who doesn't know, he is a fucking super junkie, god damn it, like, just combined with, I'm sure, obvious mental problems. I mean, when you look back, even before he got into drugs, it was clear there were some things wrong, and they just got fucking blown so far out of proportion.
I don't know. I mean, when I go home, I'm probably only going to be home a month or two before I move off somewhere else. The Montreal thing or whatever, but I don't even know what to do with him. I just kind of hope I don't run into him. It's just such a mess. Anyway, so here's It's All True by Evan Dando. Happiest show of all time.
Just hang on, G-Frog.
Alright, well, now that I got that in the fucking can, I guess I'll go get some food. See you motherfuckers later.
I haven't cried, baby, since I learned to talk. I haven't fallen down since I learned to walk. And I don't get bored watching the tube. And I never had a rock in my shoe. And if I tried, baby, would you mess me around? We'll both get bored by the simple sound. Sorry about dropping that loop. It just seemed like the best thing to do. It's all true. Get me down when I'm feeling blue. When I tell you lies, you won't believe they're true. And I really should be on my way. Think I'm gonna stick around all day. It's all true. I got me. She's got you. Got time to parachute. She's so precise with her exacting life. She ain't gonna take her life. With some empty arms and a broken heart, and I don't get bored watching the two.
Holy fucking balls, man. What the hell is the matter with me? Jesus Christ. Go for a nice little walk, get some goddamn food in me, and it's like, geez, what the fuck is the matter? Get your shit together, Keith McNally, you sad sack motherfucker. I'd like to point out, usually when I do this show, I'm blah blah blahing, and then, well, I got put in all the songs in post-production. They don't just, like, magically appear in the fucking podcast, but, you know, usually I'll listen to the song before I do my next little ramble, more or less real time. That last fucking string of shit, I just sat on my front porch, and here's this song, here's that song. So, I mean, that, while that probably sounds like it was 20 minutes of me fucking boo-hoo-hooing about shit, that was like 5 minutes. Just to make that clear. Wow, alright, so I'm not gonna end on that kind of fucking note. Jesus Christ. Let's upbeat things a little motherfucking bit right here.
You better end his past. that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and bother, bother. She loves that if I ever stop and now stop it.
Stop that gambling, go walk you out. It's not bestowed on me, and my man's falling down. I would have another drink, except it might be poisoned by my mind, and my man's falling down. I don't know what you've been drinking, but for another one for me, my man's are falling down. The room is spinning around, my stomach is making funny sounds. I'm falling down. I'm falling down. Fuck you, I hate you, is all she said. As she slapped my face and spit beer on me, and my man's falling down. She said you're no good, I'll be dancing with my rocker, with my bad haircut, and your man's falling down. I don't know what you've been smoking, but pack another bowl for me. My pants are falling down. The room is spinning around. My stomach is making funny sounds. I'm falling down. I'm falling down. My pants are falling down. The room is spinning around. My stomach is making funny sounds.